Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you have joined us on this Saturday. Here we are every Saturday bringing you what Tallahassee is talking about. Decided that we would take today to look back over the last 6 months, asking the question, what is Tallahassee talking about most? So this is sort of our best of Tallahassee Talks here on a Saturday. Glad that we have the opportunity to bring that to you. So stay tuned and find out what we think have been the best of Tallahassee Talks this year thus far. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Robert Sand Company, providing soil, mulches, compost, rock, and gravel for homeowners and businesses for 50 years, and by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Peter.
Wow, you really going after those carrots?
Yeah, so?
Well, you gotta slow down.
Oh, no. You're right.
Must be the Roberts.
What? Roberts?
Yeah, Roberts Topsoil and Compost.
Farmer Brown is a genius.
Grow your garden with the best from Roberts Sand Company. Call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com. Do the Roberts. So we're talking today about all things going on in Tallahassee. The best of Tallahassee Talks over the last number of months here in 2013. We had such a great time talking with so many people. Tough to be able to pull out those that we want to feature today. Maybe we'll have to do this again here next week or in the following weeks. But especially the theme, of course, for 2013 has been the expansion, the Imagineering, the new Tallahassee, the seeking of our place in the world, coming up with all sorts of ideas that are a part of our future and helping us find out for ourselves who we really are. Imagine Tallahassee has been at the center of that. And one of the apostles in this whole movement has been a man named Vincent Hunt. Both of those folks, J.T. Burnett with Imagine Tallahassee, Vincent Hunt, have been with us this year. And then there has been the, let's call it, the cultural expansion and growth in our community, especially in the way of music and entertainment. And so we thought that Sarah Mack would be a great person to bring back in this hour. So we'll be hearing from Sarah Mack. And as expansion goes, Sunil Harmon, who recently has left us, but has done such a great job in helping the Tallahassee Airport come into its own. So we're going to hear from those Sunil as well, talk about those issues related to the Tallahassee Airport and its future. And speaking of that, what is going on with Capital City pedicabs? Have you heard about this? To me, this is a great example of the kind of cool stuff that Tallahassee is bringing forward. Capital City pedicabs going around town with their three-wheeled sort of cabs, rickshaw kind of thing. Very, very attractive and a great way to have some fun on a Friday night if you're in Midtown or downtown. Great way to get around anyway. But Capital City Pedicabs, for their part, a brand new business, Ron Goldstein and Company, making it possible for us to have another piece of the signature that is Tallahassee better celebrated along with all the other new things that are going on. So hats off to Capital City Pedicabs. And as we go forward here, let's talk with Sunil Harmon with the Tallahassee Regional Airport.
I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby,
so we're talking about the Tallahassee Airport. We're talking about aviation and our good friend here, Sunil Harmon, who is the Director of Aviation for the City of Tallahassee. We'll just say he runs the airport. He's the guy.
And he's had a chance to share with us a little bit about his own personal history and then some of what's happened in the airline industry over, the last 30, 40 years. And it's not all good news, is it? In fact, there's not a whole lot of good news except that there are still airlines available and we can still catch a flight. But, you know, my son, he'll drive from Panama City, the Northwest Beaches Airport, over to Tallahassee just so he can grab the Southwest Airlines flight out of Austin.
Oh, you mean he'll drive from Tallahassee to Panama City?
Yeah.
Because he's got South. Right. Well, let me just go back and say that things are improving dramatically.
Yeah.
Very much like the recession that we all had.
Right.
You know, people don't understand that the airline industry is a bellwether to almost every economic downturn and recovery.
Why is that?
Because they know in advance with bookings what the propensity for businesses and people to spend is. People typically book in advance to travel.
Right.
So if there is a loss of consumer confidence,
it
is felt very early in the bookings with the airlines.
Almost like tickets to a movie. They know once they get that first release whether they got a winner or not.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And in the same way, when you are in an economic recovery, the airlines are almost the lagging edge of a recovery. So they're last to recover, but they can detect recovery the soonest because you start seeing an uptick in the bookings of passengers. And Tallahassee is a unique environment. It's a small city.
Yeah.
Let's face it, if it were purely based on numbers, Tallahassee would not have the service that it's had historically or should continue to have in the future. Because if you look at the total catchment area that Tallahassee Airport can serve, the total market, that market we anticipate would be something less than an hour's drive to the airport, is less than a million people.
We just don't have the numbers.
We don't have the population to support a significant air service airport. But because it's the capital city of arguably the third largest state in of the union in terms of population, it's a must travel to city. Tallahassee has actually benefited from that status because many comparable cities lost all air service altogether during the recession. So even though your son encountered high fares, he at least had a choice. Now, things have changed since then. We've significantly reduced the cost of the airlines over the last 22 months.
Right.
One of the things that the airlines look into when they determine whether or not they're going to serve a marketplace is what it costs them in terms of airport charges. These are landing fees and rental rates. We tended to be among the benchmark airports that we compare ourselves to.
Right.
We tended to be among the highest in Tallahassee. And that's because we lost so much in terms of passenger traffic. At the height of the airport, back in the 2004 timeframe, post 9/11, the airport had over a million people traveling through it. But since then, through the 7 years that have ensued since then, there's been a precipitous drop-off in traffic down to almost less than 300,000 a year.
How do you account for that?
Well, two things happened. People stopped traveling altogether because of economic conditions. Or people made choices to travel from elsewhere. And so we saw through our market attrition studies much greater numbers of people driving much larger distances to Tampa and Orlando, and to a lesser extent Jacksonville, but also to Atlanta. Over 42% of the market share was driving to destinations that were 3 hours or longer in terms of drive time. Now, Panama City, coincidentally, which opened a new airport a little less than 3 years ago, only took 5% of our market share. Because the desire to get a Southwest fare is also available in Orlando,
yep.
is also available in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to go to Panama City to get Southwest.
Right, right.
Now, Tallahassee as an airport did not restructure itself as airlines had. So it maintained its infrastructure. It's got massive amounts of land, over 2,700 acres of land to keep and maintain, you know, massive amounts of pavement and asphalt to keep operational.
That stuff's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
But also, remember that governments tended to hold on to jobs because you don't want to further debilitate the economy. The worst thing you can do in a recessionary cycle is actually contribute to unemployment.
Yeah. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with the Director of Aviation for the Tallahassee Airport, Sunil Harman. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
You're listening to the best of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. We're glad you're with us. 93.3, Freedom 93, our home station here. Glad you've tuned in. We have with us a lovely young man whose contribution has already begun to send ripples out there on the pond. Vincent Hunt is our guest this morning. Vincent, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
We're glad you're with us. And what a great opportunity. And I have to tell you, you got a lot of fans in the room here, okay? So we may not let you go. And we know you have lots of other things that you have to do
at some point.
But for those of you who do not know this man or who are maybe just getting to know him, he is absolutely, in my estimation, one of the folks who has, for his part, provided us a new way of looking at things, perhaps would be a good way to say that. A window on not just Tallahassee and not just on the world, but really a window to ourselves, how we look at us and what we expect to have happen in our own lives. And so let's get started here. You have a couple of things rolling, and I think you've probably got a lot more than I know about, and that's why I want you here. Let's talk, first of all, Massive Corporation. Tell us what Massive Corporation is, and what do you do? What is your job?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, Massive Corporation is basically me returning back to my roots. I came to Tallahassee about 2 years ago on another project, Menuless, and we built a whole company around Menuless called Kind Intelligence, and that's where a lot of people know me.
I see.
My background is really in design, innovation, creativity, and really, really helping companies, you know, create and innovate in the new economic system that we're in right now, which we call the post-industrial economic system. And when I got here, there were a few people who knew what I did, and so they would pull on that half of my life. But it wasn't really part of the Kind brand. It wasn't part of what Kind Intelligence was designed to do. So I knew early on that I would have to create another identity, another company that really, really handled helping companies, you know, seize the opportunities that are out there in the post-industrial economic environment that we're in. And that's where the Massive Corporation comes in. Massive Corporation is basically a idea incubator combined with an accelerator sitting on top of an ecosystem, a talent ecosystem, very much like a consortium. So it's going to be very, very powerful, bringing some of the smartest thinkers here in the region together to really, really solve some big problems and to create some really cool stuff.
So, okay, let's look at those three parts. There's the ecosystem of folks who bring to you then, or bring to one another, their talents.
Absolutely.
Their insight, their skills, and their willingness
yep.
to participate in this effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then above that, then an incubator,
yep.
right?
Absolutely.
Meaning that as folks are bringing ideas together, so then they are fostering the creation of things that didn't exist prior.
Absolutely.
And then the accelerator. What is the accelerator part?
The accelerator part. Like, so for instance, there may be a business that wants to go to the next level. And right. so maybe going to that next level means layering in a new system or a new process, a new idea. Let's just call it that, a new idea. What we do is actually help that company bring that new process, that new system, that new product. It could even be a product. Bring that product in and help them accelerate. So it's the acceleration model for businesses. Or if it's a young business that just they've already got their product, they've kind of gone through stage one and two of their development cycles. And now what they need is just that warm hug, you know, of legal and creative to really take them to that next level. So the acceleration part is a little interesting, very, very, very dynamic, where the incubation component is those new ideas, those baby ideas that really haven't, you know, gotten legs yet and really helping them get those legs.
And how do you operate that individually? Are you going to an office somewhere every day and checking in with folks, or what actually happens to make all this come about?
That's interesting. Massive, when it very first started, it was really the core of what I do, which is a lot of my consulting. So I would help people on a consultative level in a very dispersed kind of a way, just me really fueling, if you call it that, my own passion to help people create and innovate and go bigger.
Yeah.
But what's happened here recently, a couple of partnerships have been made. I don't have the privy to talk about those partnerships yet, but what's going to happen here in the very near future, if we can align things the right way, is if you can imagine a building, a Google being drop shipped in downtown Tallahassee, open space where you have absolute creative freedom, something like Tallahassee has never seen before. So to me, it's like 3 years accelerated into the future of what I saw Massive becoming. And with these partnerships, I think we're going to line this thing up and really bring something special and magical to Tallahassee. So my work will change a little bit. It'll become a little bit more consortium.
So 2 years ago, you came to Tallahassee.
Yes, sir.
You returned to Tallahassee.
No, I didn't return to Tallahassee. Oh. I was brand new. I'm an import.
Okay. So where are you from originally?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
So here you come to the South from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. What brought you here initially?
What brought me here initially was the very first design initiative that I really kind of took under the wing, which is Menuless.
Okay. Let's talk about Menuless.
Menuless. Menuless is a platform that I designed about 2 years ago in the summer of 2010. I was in between projects. God had given me a drop ship on an idea that I believe would revolutionize the restaurant industry, because what we find is in the restaurant, something as simple as the restaurant menu has always been paper, but we're living in a very, very digital age. And so my disruptive hypothesis on that was, in the next 3 to 5 years, I really can't see us using paper menus anymore. But if we're not using paper menus, that opened up a whole different spectrum of questions and ideas as it pertains to that data that's contained in the menu and how we as humans interact with that menu. One of the most important and probably the most critical pieces of marketing inside of a restaurant, the menu. And we don't think about it that way, but without a menu, how do you know what to order?
Yeah.
So if you can reimagine that and leverage that in a completely different way, I thought that you could have something magical. So I began the design process and I designed Menuless. And again, that was in the summer of 2010. Showed it to a friend of mine here, Jim Hunt. Jim Hunt said, "Vince, this is something that we've got to do. This is big. This is awesome." And the process just began from there, you know, wrapping the right people and the right resources around it to get it done. And I moved here to Tallahassee.
So in that regard, you think that this is going to take how long for it to really, really play out? How soon will we see restaurants using this Menuless software?
Well, you'll start seeing, I mean, you'll see residue of it pretty soon here.
Yeah.
But what I'm finding is in any industry that you're trying to disrupt, that you're trying to really bring new innovation, new ways of doing things, it takes time, you know. So whether it be a 5-year curve, 10-year curve, I really don't have a clue of that. But I know it's the direction that we're going in. If you're looking at all the trends across every industry, you'll find that the hospitality or restaurant industry is probably one of the slowest to adopt and kind of move. And that's not like a slap on their wrist. It's just that, you know, they're usually busy. They're in the business of making sure we all eat, you know. And so sitting around thinking about clever new ideas is really not on the top of their priority or the top of their list.
It's not on their menu.
Right. It's not on their menu, but it is on our menu. Right. And so it's our job to create the systems and the processes that we know will help, you know, improve their efficiencies and bring a better customer experience to the table, you know, no pun intended. And so I would have to say within the next 5 years, you'll really start to see some transformation in the restaurant space as it pertains to how we really interact with that marketing piece, the menu, and how we actually acquiesce inside the restaurant environment, getting things done, and what that experience really, really looks like.
Vincent Hunt is our guest this morning, talking about Massive Corporation and Kind Intelligence and this new idea, this product actually that's been developed and is in operation, ready to move forward, menuless. Mm-hmm. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hey, Magnolia.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, you're looking pretty good there. You've been doing the Roberts, right?
Yeah, hey, and I can't thank you enough, you know. I haven't felt this good in years. I mean, I'm putting out roots and leaves I didn't know I had in me. And look at these blossoms, huh?
I'm telling you, it's the Roberts. Hey, that's great, Mac. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, and you know, I think everybody ought to be doing the Roberts. I mean, it's not just good for guys like us, but, you know, for everybody, right?
Have you seen Camellia lately?
Hi, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Do your flowers, plants, and trees a favor with the best organic topsoil, compost, and mulch from Roberts Sand Company. Ask for it by name at your local nursery or call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com.
You're listening to the best of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Actually, I'm really just here to get educated about what they have going on. I'm unfamiliar. I've seen the advertisements, so I'm just trying to get an idea of what they have going on and what they're expecting.
So we're talking about Tallahassee and its development and so many things going on simultaneously. We have JT Burnett helping us sort all that out. And telling us about a project that has been initiated through his efforts and those of people who are like-minded. JT, you've just told us about the 14 or so businesses that you have some involvement in personally, and obviously then not on a day-to-day basis. You're not involved in the operations of those things. I know one of your strong points that you try to encourage other folks to do is this business of delegation, getting people around you who then implement those things that need to be done, and you're able to be at a distance working on the business rather than working in it, often said among people who are successful. So when you look at what Tallahassee's doing as a community, are we doing things in a manner that you think will work, given your business background? Are we doing it the way that you would do it if you were trying to run this like a business, I guess?
Well, what happens is, right, is that, you know, I never really thought about it this way, Brian, but you kind of make me think about it as an interesting way. What Tallahassee is a group of a bunch of very successful businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And all of those businesses in their own silo are extremely successful. But who, right, in our community is there to help orchestrate all of that, right, to not just see where the individual pieces are, but where we are going as overall as the community.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, everybody knows what our huge, incredible assets are, right? But how are they working together with that spot on the wall?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel very fortunate that I'm able to provide that to the group of businesses that I'm involved in. But, you know, that's been a real strain in our community. And currently, you know, there's no one current leadership or even group of leaders that basically are taking on that task of saying, you know, how do we use all of our resources to move the needle?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, in our organization, I'm able to basically look at all of those pieces together and piece them together to help the whole move in a direction. And I'll tell you, the movement of the whole is surely a help to all the individual pieces of the business.
Well, in fact, do you think that we are in possession of that, let's call it oversight, you know, the ability to see from a meta level? Are we also engaged in our own enterprise, whatever that might be? And it could be a for-profit business. It could be an association. It could be government. It could be a football team, you know. But we all are beholden to the plow that we're strapped to. So it doesn't really give us that ability to step back. So then is it fair to say, as an organization, is trying to do that? It's trying to get us a bit away from our day-to-day or even those things that are more critical to us and say, let's get a broader view. Let's get a bigger picture.
Well, Brian, you just completely explained what Imagine Tallahassee is all about.
Okay, folks. Well, we're done for today, and thank you for tuning in. No, just glad that I've been able to say everything for you. Yeah. That's my job. It's just put words in your mouth. Sorry about that. But seriously, there's a kind of passion there that I'm reading when I've talked with you about this. That seems to push you past your own business concerns. And my God, I mean, it's not like you don't have some stuff to do.
Well, the majority of things that we do, Brian, are quite frankly outside of our community. You know, this is a real passion for me related to the community. I mean, Hotel Duval was, you know, a side project for us.
Really?
You know, Front Porch. You know, these aren't pieces of our core business. These are pieces that are passion pieces for our community, right?
Wow.
And being able to see all that locked up potential in our community and not see it move forward, Imagine Tallahassee is that opportunity for all of those stakeholders, not only the stakeholders that are on the steering committee, but the community as a whole, to come together and us figure out who we want to be.
Well, let's talk about that. So what makes Imagine Tallahassee, let's say, different than KCCI or Village Square or the EDC or the Chamber? You know, it seems to me we've got lots of other organizations out there that are supposed to be in the business of helping us find this spot on the wall we're talking about. What would you say makes Envision that different? How do we translate what you're saying into participation for the average person?
Well, Imagine Tallahassee is, right, being tied to Blueprint, has resources.
Okay. Blueprint to, what's it?
I don't know that it's actually been given a title yet, okay. But the referendum for the sales tax.
Okay.
We can all sit around here, Brian, and come up with great ideas, and we can sit here and come up with a great plan.
Yeah.
And we'll write it down with no resources to fortify it, and we'll go put it on the shelf and talk about 10 years ago, how we talked about that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The difference is this. There's actually dollars in this area to fortify a direction. Okay. People aren't interested in coming and having a conversation that doesn't have the ability, or they can't put their hands on how, even if we come up with it, it's going to move forward. Okay. That it's just another discussion, right? This is an opportunity for people to come together and make real change, and there's resources at the end of it to accomplish that. Now, a lot of people come to me and say, you know, what projects or what do you see coming out of Imagine Tallahassee? You can't have a project discussion until you figure out where you want to go, who you want to be. Once we figure out who we want to be, then we start figuring out projects how to accomplish that. But it's too early in the conversation. I tell anybody, I said, if you're coming to Imagine Tallahassee today, bringing a project, you've totally missed what Imagine Tallahassee is about. Because how can you come with your story about a project if you don't know where we're going, right? I mean,
so Imagine is about the discovery process, and it's a collective effort. It's not just the 300 or 400 people who happen to show up at a given meeting, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I'll say one of the things that I'm probably most proud of, Curtis Richardson said that out of all of his life here in Tallahassee, he said, this is the most diverse group of stakeholders that he has ever experienced within this community.
How is it related to some of these other groups? And I mentioned the Chamber of Commerce particularly. Are they invested in this, or how do you relate to even a group like KCCI or Town and Gown?
Oh, well, all of those are players, right?
Okay.
So the steering committee, their goal is not to basically just provide direction. Part of their responsibility is to bring the broader community into the conversation.
I see.
Right? And what their responsibilities related to as their whole stakeholder group is to go out, you know, if the chamber, you know, they got to bring KCCI, they got to bring Town and Gown. They've got a responsibility to bring all of those conversations together, right? But what we can't do is just have one small group bringing the same group of people in. We've got to get a broader spectrum and have them take a next step level and make it broader even beyond them.
Talking with our good friend JT Burnett, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with us.
We were faced with a very difficult situation. It was horrible. The trauma scene was bad enough, and it involved hazardous material. When we contacted Associated Services, it was so reassuring. They put together a team for us immediately and stayed in contact with us, even though we were 3 hours away.
We get a lot of those kind of calls, but this one somehow was different. What really stuck was the confusion in her voice.
They were available to answer all our questions and provide additional help throughout the entire ordeal. They were right there, compassionate, professional, even months after completing the job. Associated Services, I would trust them with any job, regardless of scale.
Since 1975, Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration, experts in dealing with mold, water, fire, and biohazard cleanup, experienced in dealing with people. Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration, online at associatedsvs.com.
You're listening to the best of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So here we are, boys and girls, on a Saturday morning. Springtime Tallahassee is all about us. The festival parade begins shortly. Don't forget that we have in store for you some wonderful entertainment, including our very special guest this morning, Sarah Mack. The Sarah Mack Band will be performing this afternoon, so make sure you've made your way over to Springtime. Sarah, you have graced us with a number of interesting details about your history as a musician in this particular wonderful group, the Sarah Mack Band. Folks, if you haven't done so, you can go to their website, and this will be easy for you, sarahmackband.com, and that's Sarah with an H, so it's S-A-R-A-H, Mack, M-A-C, band.com. Great lineup of stuff. And you've got another concert date coming up, I guess, in May. Do you recall where and when?
Yeah. In May, I think it. Let me look at my calendar.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries. In May 18th, we're going to be back in Tallahassee playing at Johnny Ringo's.
Ah. Well, folks, there you go. So if you've missed the train she's on, you'll know where she has gone. She'll be back May 18th at Johnny Ringo's. So there you go, folks. What inspires you to write? Does it happen to you? Or do you come at it and go, man, there's a song in there, I'm going to find it? I mean, what's the process for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I have a cousin who lives in England who also is a musician, and once he was asking me about how I write songs. And every once in a while you get this glorious burst of inspiration where I feel almost like I'm a conduit of some grand universal something, and like the song gets gifted to me. But a lot of times it's, I mean, I carry a recorder around with me all the time. And when I'm in my car at stoplights, if you're next to me and you see me, you think I'm talking to myself. I'm probably saying lyrics or things that have popped into my head. I do a lot of just playing and practicing and things. It's something, a little hook sticks in my head and it grows and evolves. And then every once in a while, just when I feel kind of a particularly dry spell and wish that I could be writing more, I'll go back to that, all those recordings, and just start playing through stuff and almost like songwriting exercises. I'm going to turn this into something, and if it's horrible, then I'll trash it and come back again later. But unfortunately, it's much more work and discipline than it is grand inspiration.
It's a job.
Yeah.
It is a job. And, you know, it's interesting. My son, Morgan, will say the same thing. You know, and the hardest part, I think, for an artist of any kind, whether it's visual or music, performing art, is to realize that there is no one performance that is grand beyond all measure. You know, so
it would be great if there were.
If it were, but you know, you just, you keep turning it out and you turn it out and you turn it out and you turn it out. And you think about those artists who have endured, you know, over time. And we talked about, of course, some of those that have inspired you. Are there guitarists particularly that you look to, maybe an Eric Clapton or somebody that you just go, man, that is just so cool, that have inspired you along the way, do you think?
You know, this is going to be like the cheesy hometown answer, but really playing with Charlie has done a tremendous, I mean, I still don't know that you would even look at me and say, oh yeah, she's definitely inspired by guitarists, because my main instrument really is my voice. I fiddle around a guitar and I fiddle around at piano, but I'm primarily a vocalist. But Charlie has always said, if you play with people that are better than you are, you will get better.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been in the Sarah Mac Band since 2005, but I started playing with Charlie in 2000. So even things that sound kind of goofy to guitar players, like now I know how to play bar chords and and now I can transpose in my head and things that, you know, when you're a girl who plays three chords on a guitar, you learn very quickly.
That is cool. That is very cool. Folks, we have Sarah Mac here with us this morning. So glad you've tuned in. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And by the way, if you've missed any of our shows, you know that you can go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com. We have all of them archived for you. And if you'd like to email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Send us your thoughts about a topic or a guest you'd like us to consider. We're here every Saturday. We know how much you enjoy it because we get emails from you. And our Facebook page, people will post notices there and appreciation of what we've done. And I really do thank you for that. We hope that we can continue to bring you all the good things that are going on around town, like the Sarah Mac Band. They're going to be at Springtime Tallahassee later today, so make sure you've made your way down there. And you can give a shout out to our girl Sarah and say, hey, I heard you on the radio. You were so good. And we're going to have Sarah close out the show for us today. She's got a song that she has brought just especially for me, and I appreciate it so much. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll be here next Saturday morning looking for you. Sarah Mac.
Do me a favor, come over my way, incline your head to me. Hear what I'm saying. 30 years old and I'm tired of waiting. to sit down, start with hello. It seems like it would be so easy, but we've all felt the weight behind that word. And all my tomorrows might be meant for you. Requesting is too big of a step. I'll scale down the ask and I'll give you some help. 'Cause I'd rather be hurt than be mad at myself for not catching you as you walk by. The most gripping fear is when you realize that what you've always wanted's with your grasp. Fantasy gets swallowed up by real life. There's always a chance when you trade in the dream you won't like what you get. And all my tomorrows might be meant for you. Try to give you tomorrow. It seems like it would be so easy. It's the blood that has kept us alive since the day we were born. If my lips and breath could just make out a greeting, but we've all felt the weight behind that word, and all my tomorrows might be meant for you. All my tomorrows might be meant for you.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.